Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Turn to somebody next to you, give them a little pinch and say, wake up. We're in the house of God this morning, and we have all authority to boldly approach the throne of grace. How many of you are unwilling to leave without getting everything that you can get from your heavenly Savior? See, it's that kind of attitude that sets us up for prosperity in every area of our life. We know that it is in the presence of God that healing comes, that bondages break loose. We know that in the presence of God, fear has to leave. We know that in the presence of God, prosperity comes and poverty is forced to leave. In the presence of God, all things that seem impossible in the natural are possible in the supernatural. So you have the ability to enter in and reach out. Go ahead and reach out. You grab a hold of whatever it is that you need God to do in your life today. Because this is your day. This is your moment, and it happens here in the presence of God. Heavenly Father, we glorify you. We honor you for what you've already done in the supernatural, and we call it forth, manifested in this place, this day. We give you the glory in advance. Amen.
Amen. Are you ready to praise God this morning? Come on, step side to side, step. Oh, looking good. All right, repeat after me.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
say thank you, Jesus, for who you are to me.
You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord.
Come on, tell him he's been good.
You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord.
One more time, everything you got.
You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you.
Come on, put your hands together.
Thank you.
All right, guys, let me hear you shout for God because he deserves all of our praise right now. Just shout it out. Here we go.
In my hallelujah belongs to And my hallelujah belongs to you. And my hallelujah belongs to you. And my hallelujah belongs to you. You deserve. Glory belongs to you.
Sing it again.
And all of the glory belongs to you. And all of the glory belongs to you.
'Cause you deserve it.
You deserve it. You deserve it. deserve it. You deserve it.
'Cause my hallelujah.
And my hallelujah belongs to you.
Sing it again.
And my hallelujah belongs to you. And my hallelujah belongs to you.
You deserve.
Thank you, Jesus, for moving in this place today. Father, you deserve it all. But right now, Father, we just want your glory to fall in this place. So let it be in Jesus' mighty name.
Glory, I will do it.
just to see you, to behold you as my King. Lord, if I find favor in your sight, then Lord, please heal my heart's cry. I'm desperately waiting to be where you are, across the hottest desert. I'll travel near or far for your glory. I will do anything
just to see you,
just to see you, to behold you as my King for your glory.
Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down.
Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. For your glory, I will do anything
just to see you.
Just to see send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your spirit. Send the winds of refreshing, God, send your glory down. For your glory, I would do anything
just to see you.
Just to see. Hold you as my King.
just to see you, to behold you as my hero.
Just the voices.
For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King.
Father, we thank you for your glory, God, and for who you are, Father, that we will follow you. We will follow you to the ends of the earth, God. We will walk through the desert like that song said. God, we would do anything just to be with you, God, because you alone are great, God. You alone are great. So this next song, some of you who might be a few years older than the rest of us will probably know a little better than those of us who are a few years younger than you. But the really cool thing about worship songs is, no matter how old they are, they're still worship songs. They still bring glory to God. So, you may not know all the words. If you don't, sing the parts you do and worship anyway.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how His Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on that cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. But then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. Shout of acclamation and lead me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus, you're great. You are great and you're marvelous. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are so wonderful, Lord. You are great and greatly to be praised. You are worthy and worthy to be praised, Father. Lord God, in the name of Jesus this morning, we thank you for showing up. We thank you that, Lord, we are in your house. That, Lord, when we are in your house, Lord, there's fullness of joy. There's fullness of peace. And Lord God, there's everything that we have need of. This morning, Lord God, as we worship you and we lift you up, you said you draw all men to you. This is about you, Father. We're here because of you. We acknowledge you. We proclaim your name, Jesus, above every name. We shout, how great you are, Father. You are great. You are great. Jesus. And let us not ever forget how great you are. How marvelous you are. How wonderful and magnificent you are, Jesus. 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 You know, sometimes we get caught up in the busyness and the chaotic of life. I remember as a kid, this song would sing and I'd sit on the front and I'd be like, oh, here goes that song again. But you know what? As I've gotten older and the more mature that I've gotten, I actually love this song. And it does talk about how great he is. And he's talking about how great he is in our lives and how marvelous and wonderful he is. And you know, when we come on a Sunday morning and we're like, well, I wonder what playlist they got for this week. It don't matter what playlist that is made. It doesn't matter what songs are sung. It's a matter of the posture of your heart. And we're here to proclaim how great he is. We're here to proclaim how wonderful and magnificent he is. Amen. Amen. You know, it's moments like this, you don't want to leave that place. But I know Pastor Cody's got an awesome message for us. Father, this morning, God, Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus, every hand lifted up. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, we surrender to you this morning. God, fill our hearts. Fill us, Lord God, with the fullness of joy. Fill us with your peace. Jesus, fill us with your greatness. With all that you are, Lord. Father, as we hear the word spoken, as we hear the word preached, Lord, we know that it's from your throne room, straight from heaven to us. So, Lord, open up our ears, Lord God. Speak to our spirits, Holy Spirit. Change us, shift us, and transform us today in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Listen, on your way back to your seat, and even those that are in your seat, get out. Get out of your seat. Go meet somebody that you don't know, or go hug on somebody, love on them, and say how great God is.
is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
If the people of God started handling money God's ways. You work too hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore.
Hey guys, listen, we save souls here, but we also save lives. So we want to let you know about the next blood drive that will be held by the Red Cross right here at His Tabernacle, August 10th from 2 until 6 p.m. You can email Pastor Chad at PastorChad@HisTabernacle.com, or you can arrive and show up and give your blood. Again, August 10th from 2 to 6 p.m. right here.
Hey guys, every week behind those walls right there, hundreds of kids come to learn about God. And we just want to invite you to come and join us, teach your children about Jesus, either on Sunday morning with His kids or on Wednesday night with Upper Kids. If you would like more information on how you can get involved, you can email me at Aaron@HisTabernacle.com.
Hey everyone, next Sunday, morning services and a special 6 p.m. service, John Avanzini is going to be here in Horse of Heads, New York, teaching us with amazing revelations from the Lord. He loved you guys so much, our congregation. He asked to come back. I hope to see you there.
We want to grow our worship family choir huge this year. And if you love to sing and just be in the presence of God, I want you to email me at worship@HisTabernacle.com. We create an amazing, loving family environment. We enjoy music together and we just have fun. So every other Monday night at 6:30, we get together to be in the presence of God and prep the atmosphere for our Sunday morning services. If you're interested, again, please email me at worship@HisTabernacle.com.
Awesome. Well, good morning, family. It is such a good day to be in God's house. I love being with you all. I'm excited for what He's going to do today. So if this is maybe your first time and you're kind of gripping your seat a little bit, don't worry. Hang on. It's going to be awesome. If you are, this is your first time and you did not receive a welcome packet yet, would you just raise your hand? We want to get something in your hand to give you some more information. And with that, right after service, if you go out the back doors, there is a tent outside. Please come. We have coffee for you. We have muffins for you. We want to tell you about us and what we do here, and we just want to welcome you to our family. But if you're also watching via live stream, we love you. We want to welcome you to our service today. Get ready. It is going to be a great one. Then everybody say next steps. This is happening Tuesday night. We have Rock Solid Faith, but it doesn't just happen on Tuesday nights. We also have Rock Solid Faith on Wednesday mornings and on Thursday nights. We believe in equipping our family. Amen? Isn't it awesome? And then we have groups. And we have a slide we want to put up because we want to honor a certain group today, the moms group. I think moms are awesome. Come on, if it wasn't for moms, none of us would be here. So I'm super excited that we have a group that's just for moms. And so, but we have other groups too. And if you want to get involved, go online and sign up. But just a special plug, if you're between the ages of 18 and 30, you can join my group. I would love to have you. So it's going to be awesome. Then Remnant Bible College. That is our Bible college right here at this church. Not many churches can say that they have their own Bible college, but we do. And so if you're interested in joining, now maybe you say, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be in the full-time ministry. That's okay. Come and get equipped. There's online classes. It's always good to learn more about what the Word says. Amen. And then last but not least, tonight, 5:45 p.m. we have Awaken Monthly. It's our midsummer bash. Come on, we're going to enjoy the warm weather while we have it, because this is New York, so tomorrow could be snowing. So we're going to enjoy summer while we have it. So come out. We have inflatables, we have volleyball, we have free food, and we have childcare, which is super important. So come, we would love to have you. But right now, we're going to turn over to Pastor Andrea, and she is going to bring us our word on the tithes and the offerings today.
Amen. Come on, His Tabernacle. Thank you for your blessings. But let's give God praise and glory. Come on, stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. I know He's been better than that this week. He's been better than that to me. So come on. Come on and give Him praise. Come on and give Him glory. I am looking out over you, and I am seeing such supernatural blessings. I've seen people who have been challenged with sickness and disease, and they have been risen. Amen? I am looking at people who were standing at financial famine, but God has blessed financially. I'm looking at a people today who are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, and I give Him praise and glory for each and every one of you. Amen? So this morning, we get a chance to bless God, amen, with our tithes and offerings, because He is such a giver. Wouldn't you agree? God is such an awesome giver. He's given us health. He's given us wealth. He's given us family. He's given us peace, amen. So this is our opportunity to give back to Him just a portion. Just look at your neighbor and say, just a little bit. A little something, something. We're giving Him a portion of what He's given to us, a tenth of all that He's given us. So if you are ready to give Him praise and glory through tithes and offerings, come on, stand in agreement with me. Just go ahead and say to your neighbor, like, I need a little blessing the city, blessing the field. Could you give me a little Fred Hammond? Amen? Amen. Say to your neighbor, say, look, I'm blessing the city. Look at your neighbor. I'm blessing the field. Tell your neighbor, say, you know what? I'm blessing my storehouse. Blessing my storehouse. And I, come on, intercessors, I'm blessing my basket. Amen. The blessings of God, they're going to chase you down, overtake you, and say it, because I'm a child of God. So I want you to say it as loud as you can. Say it so loud that our pastors, Pastor Spencer, Pastor Rhonda, will be able to hear us in another state. Say, I'm blessed. Ooh, I'm blessed. Say, come on with, and you know what? The blessings of God will overtake you. Because say it to your neighbor, I'm a child of God. I'm made in the image of God. I am blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. Come on up, come on up, come on, come on. Let these blessings overtake as we give Him back just a little bit, the tenth of what He's given us. Amen.
We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease, for the devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty. The devil is defeated. We are blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease, for the devil is defeated. We are blessed. Late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's gonna work in your favor. Whoa, whoa, whoa. fear. Yes, we're blessed when we come and when we go. We cast down every stronghold, sickness and poverty must cease. For the devil is defeated. We are blessed.
Well, good morning, His Tabernacle. How are you guys doing today? Very convincing that you still need more coffee. Yes? All right. Hey, guys, I have really cool news right before we get into the Word. Ben Moss actually just finished this morning our recap video from conference. And I don't want you to feel, oh, my gosh, conference again. I'm not asking for anything. I just want you to see what God did. So we're going to cue that up and play that real quick. We're 1 week out right now, and, man, I'm just so excited about it. So if you can go ahead and turn your attention to the video screens. We're going to place our recap video up.
When you really get hungry, you don't care about what anybody thinks about you.
The harvest is prepared and the harvest is plentiful. We just have to say, God, I'm here, I'm ready, use me.
Our generation will not be changed by the power of the Holy Ghost if we don't have people who are being led by the Holy Ghost.
You want to see your communities change and your schools change and this region change. It starts by you stirring up the gift that is inside of you. God has hearts prepared to come to Him. God has set things in order already. People are ready to come to Jesus.
Man, you can't tell me with a straight face that this generation is not hungry for Jesus. And I'm so excited about it. Man, I just want to pray real quick, and I'm going to get right into this. I have a decent amount of time, but I believe God's going to really do something in your life. I don't show up to church just to show up to church. That'd be such a waste of time. I'd rather watch live stream if I'm just going to try to do it to hit my little button and feel like I did good. I came to church to encounter the power of Jesus, to have my life and my heart transformed. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that we can be here. I thank you that we get to encounter you. I thank you that you love us so much that, Father, you gave your Son, and His name is Jesus, and we get to worship Him this morning. I pray that we encounter your Son in a new way, in a deeper way. Father, give us fresh revelation, but most importantly, give us a greater hunger for you and the things of your kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, can I hear an amen from the back to the front?
Amen.
Do you guys know that in this world, we actually have a hunger problem? It's crazy. I looked up some stats. It says people who starve to death every year, and this isn't to the number, is about 11 million people starve to death every single year. It says money Americans spend eating out. In 1980, we spent about $52 billion eating out. If you're a restaurant owner, that's good. In 1990, $236 billion. And now I can't even imagine where it's at. The average calories consumed daily in North Americans is about 3,500. In Africa, it's about 2,100. People who are continually hungry, Ethiopia, about 20% of them. Sudan, about 20%. Mozambique, there we go. About 30 to 40% are continuously hungry. But Americans that are currently on diets is about 20%. See, people who starve to death every year, it's about 11 million. And I'm curious to know how many Christians starve to death every single year. This morning, I want to talk to you about hunger and our spiritual hunger because I believe it's the key to our continuous growth. I don't believe that we got saved just to get saved and stay in one point, but to progress, not slowly, but exponentially through time. I see a lot of people, they get hungry and excited about Jesus when they get saved. I was just talking to a young man yesterday. He's been saved for about 6 weeks, and he read Matthew through John and already read through James in 6 weeks. But I've seen a lot of people that have been saved for 60 years, and they read their Bible maybe once every 6 weeks. I believe our hunger should only increase for the things of God because that's really what we're looking for. C.S. Lewis, he said it like this. He said, I have a terrible concern for good taste.
See, today I want to talk to you about your hunger. I want to talk to you about your hunger and how that's actually the key for what you're looking for. But before we talk about hunger and people that showed hunger and positions of hunger, I want to talk to you about what hunger looks like. We know that David, according to the Bible, was a man after God's own heart. David was a worshiper. David loved God with all that he had. And there's some things that we can find in his life that show what hunger looks like. The very first one I want to pull out is in Psalm chapter 42. Verses 1 and 2. He said, as a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. Where can I go and stand before him? He said, as a deer panteth for water, as a deer laps up water, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry. God, I desire you. As the deer is driven to get what he needs to be refreshed, I'm driven to you. See, when was the last time we were driven to God as a place where we had to go and seek him out? Psalm chapter 63, David again said it like this. He said, oh God, you are my God. If he's your God, can I hear an amen in this place? Amen. But this was the key. He said, I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. David said, I earnestly look for you. I'm searching for you, God. I so desire you that I earnestly and diligently am looking for you in this land where it seems like there's no water, where it seems like there's no fulfillment, where it seems like I can't get what I'm actually looking for. I earnestly seek you because I know it's you that can fulfill me. He said in Psalm 119, verse 148, says it like this, I stay awake through the night thinking about your promises. When was the last time we stayed up reading? When was the last time our hunger drove us to pray all night? When was the last time our schedule had to shift? Maybe it's not all night, but instead we said, I'm going to think about his promises instead of thinking about my lunch. When was the last time our time had to be adjusted because we were driven to find God in the moment? Psalm 42, verse 3 says, day and night, I only have tears for food while my enemies continually taunt me. Say, where is this God of yours? See, we gotta have hunger, guys. We gotta have hunger. If you wanna be like David, a man after God's own heart, it starts and ends in hunger. It starts and ends in finding the things of God. We need to have a hunger and a thirst for God. Not as we grow and we get to this place of being stale and stagnant. The only difference between a stream and a river is, or a stream and a swamp is continuous movement. And we got to have continuous movement in our relationship with Jesus. We can't just be happy with where we are because if we're content where we are, it turns into a swamp. Swamps only breed death. Swamps only allow things to grow that shouldn't be growing. Swamps grow nasty things. Swamps grow offense. Swamps grow hurt. Swamps grow envy. Swamps grow starting to compare ourselves to other people. But a stream, hunger, keeps things moving forward. I want to be someone who's moving forward in the things of God. Not out of pride, but out of a driven hunger, out of a desire to meet with my God. My God, not your God, my God. He's my God, my personal responsibility. That's what I want. See, Leonard Ravenhill, he said it like this. He said, we don't have revival because we're simply okay living without it. Man, we pray for revival. We ask for revival. We talk about revival. But the only reason we don't have it is because we're okay without it. We're okay with other things filling our time. We're okay with other things taking what we want. We need to have a hunger for God, a hunger for revival. If you want things to shift in your life, it starts in a hunger for Jesus. If you want things to change, if you want more of God, you want to encounter God in a new and a fresh way, you want that daily bread that the Bible talks about, it starts and it ends in your hunger for Jesus. Amen? Awesome. I'm going to talk about four positions of hunger because I believe we can have at least one of these four, but I'd love to have us have all four. See, your hunger should drive you places, right? Anybody ever been up late night and you were hungry and you drove out of your way to go to Taco Bell? Don't lie to me. What about McDonald's? Let me see your hand. Come on, this is confessional. Wendy's, Burger King, Popeyes, probably not. Everybody put their, okay, we got one for Popeyes, two for Popeyes. But our hunger should drive us, right? What we're hungry for is what we'll go after. What is important to us is what we make time for. What we desire is what we will actually do. See, the first position of hunger is how high. How high will you go? In Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, we find this man named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, most of you probably know the story. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And as the story goes, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. He was short. I'm a church kid. I grew up. Come on. He was a little guy. And it was crazy because he knew Jesus was coming. He knew that crowds would try to see him. So he sprints ahead of everybody, which probably took him at least twice the amount of steps as a normal person. But he had such a hunger, he was willing to take twice the amount of steps and go twice as high as everybody else. Zacchaeus, what he did is he climbed a tree and he went out on a limb for Jesus. While the whole crowd was right here, Zacchaeus was up above the crowd because his hunger drove him to go higher than anybody else would go. He wasn't going so Jesus would notice him. He was going so he could notice Jesus. And that's the switch. We got to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But oftentimes we sit around and we wait and we complain. Well, God, why haven't you noticed me? Have you noticed God? Have you gone up the tree to get some of Jesus? Have you separated yourself from the crowd so you're high enough that the Lord can recognize you? Your position in the world should never determine how high and how far you'll go for Jesus. He was a tax collector. He was a prominent man. People knew him. I guarantee people in the crowd, they were walking by like, is that, that's my tax guy? Zach, come down, bro. No, I'm here to see Jesus. Too many times we let our pride and our prominence get ahead of our hunger and desire for Jesus. Now, I talk about this with teenagers, but adults, it's the same thing. Well, my job title, I could never be posting this on Facebook. Well, with how people are supposed to be following me at work. Well, with the reputation I have. See, we deal with these things as adults as much as teenagers do. But he didn't allow his prominence or his position in the world to deter how high he would go to notice Jesus. How high will your hunger drive you? How far you put yourself out there for Jesus determines if you'll be in his line of sight. Man, normal line of sight, he saw a whole crowd, but he saw this one guy up in a tree. And you know what happened when Zacchaeus climbed that tree to put himself out from the crowd so he could recognize and see Jesus? So the Bible says that Jesus was walking by, looked up, saw Zacchaeus in a tree, says, hey, I'm coming to your house today. Not anyone else in the crowd. I'm coming to your house today. How you put yourself out for Jesus determines how you'll encounter Jesus. And it's crazy because he went to Zacchaeus' house and they had dinner. And the Bible says salvation came to his house. And he was a wicked man. See, your position right now doesn't determine your hunger for Jesus. Just because you might be a quote-unquote bad person who's made bad decisions doesn't mean that you can't be noticed by Jesus when you try to notice him. The Bible says he gave back twice what he stole from people, and he was a changed man. He was a changed man because he was hungry for Jesus. When was the last time you got high? You went high for Jesus? I was saying, when was the last time you got high? Don't tell me. When was the last time you put yourself out on a limb for Jesus? When you put yourself in a position where it's, man, I'm going to look stupid in these guys' eyes, but I'm going to look hungry in the eyes of God. Because God meets hunger. The crowd gets scanned, but those standing out get noticed. Does anybody want to be noticed by God? I do. Second point, second position of hunger is how low will your hunger drive you? We find Mary with an alabaster box in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 38. And what happened is Mary had been forgiven of her sins, and she was an immoral woman, but Jesus had gone, and he was having dinner at somebody's house, and the Bible says that as he was having dinner, Mary came up behind him, and she took what was called an alabaster box, and it held perfume, and she poured this perfume out on the feet of Jesus as he was sitting down, and she started to wipe her... And this is just so powerful. She started to wipe the feet of Jesus with the perfume and with her hair and with the tears to bring cleanliness and wholeness to prepare him for the next thing. See, her hunger drove her low. Your hunger should drive you into a place of submission to Jesus. Your hunger should create a heart of sacrifice unto Jesus. So it's reasonable service. It's crazy because literally, just imagine this level of brokenness. They didn't sit in chairs like we do. They would sit like this. So Jesus is sitting at a table and he's eating his meal. And all he hears behind him is a box open up. And he smells the perfume and he feels it start being poured out on his feet. And it's Mary, man, just pouring this out for Jesus. Your hunger should drive you to a level of brokenness. Please don't confuse brokenness and barrenness, though. It's a big difference between brokenness and barrenness. Brokenness is a fertilizer because it prepares our heart for what God is going to do. Brokenness, it fertilizes our heart with a greater hunger, and God will always meet and match our hunger. So I need you to recognize, am I broken or am I barren? If you're barren, you have nothing in your hand. And a lot of people, a lot of Christians in the past have tried to use this to toot their own horn and say, oh, I'm so broken for Jesus, but they have nothing. I'm so humble. I have nothing. No, there's a big difference between brokenness and barrenness. Brokenness should bring increase to our life every single time. Brokenness results in spending time with Jesus. If you don't have fruit in the kingdom, maybe you haven't been broken by the King. Also, brokenness is not sorrow. It's finding your place of gratitude at the cross. We're not called to be sad Christians. I preached a while ago that we're not called to be Eeyore Christians, walking around with a depressing cloud over our head like everything is wrong and woe is me. No, no, no. We're not called to be sad. We're called to be broken. And brokenness is not sorrow. It's gratitude. As it continued in this story in the Bible in Luke chapter 7, it's really powerful because what happened is this. People started to complain that she was let in, and he rebuked the mess out of them. But as he yelled at them, as he rebuked them, he said, let me ask you this. If I forgive a man this much, a little bit, and I forgive a man this much, who's going to have more gratitude? So probably the man that was forgiven 500 rather than the one. And sometimes I wonder, and I have to keep this in check in my own life too. Have I left a place of gratitude because I forgot about the forgiveness I encountered at the cross? Sometimes as Christians, we get so far away from the cross, but that's where we've been called to remain. That's where we've been, that's literally where Jesus made the sacrifice. That's where we need to stay. There's room at the cross for every single person. But oftentimes we get so deep into life and so far into this idea of Christianity that we forget to have gratitude for what he paid for on the cross. Come on, has anybody experienced grace in a mighty way? Has anybody been set free from some amazing things? Has God done anything in your life? If he's done anything in our life, it shouldn't be a place of sorrow. It shouldn't be a place of pride. It should be a place of gratitude at the cross. And gratitude at the cross, it brings brokenness. And brokenness is a fertilizer because brokenness is a sign of hunger. That God, all I want is you. All I have is gratitude for what you've done. All I desire is more of you. God, I want you. And because of what you've done, here's my sacrifice. It's called my life. And you know what's really cool about this position of hunger? People can tell that you've been with Jesus, and they can tell Jesus has been with you. Think about it like this. This was a perfume, and look, it was literally, it was worth a 1 year's worth of wages. And this perfume, what she did is she poured it out on his feet, right? She was wiping it in with her tears and her hair. And it's crazy because if you think about it, like, I spend time with teenagers, so when you go to camp, you'll have one kid spray like a whole bottle of Axe. And it is disgusting and vile. But you can tell who was in the same cabin as the kid who sprayed a whole bottle of Axe. It's like spinning in circles. Like, I'm not going to shower today. I'm just going to walk through this wall of acts. Please shower. But you can tell who's been in the same room as him. What's crazy about this is they could tell that Mary had been with Jesus, and they could tell that Jesus had been with Mary. I want people to tell that I've been with Jesus. I want to be so hungry for God that people can recognize I've spent time with Jesus. And because I've spent time with Jesus, he's spent time with me. Because of your hunger, can people tell you've been with Jesus? See, we need to recognize that intimacy is something that's created. If you don't have intimacy with your wife or your husband, then you're simply going to become roommates. And some people have slipped into a roommate relationship with Jesus. It's like, oh, hey, work schedules have been really busy. I'll see you Sunday. When we're both off, we got time for each other. That's how some of our hunger has driven us to a roommate relationship with Jesus, where we see him when we have a time, where we see him when the time comes up. But intimacy drives you to create time. Intimacy drives you to a level of brokenness and gratitude. We got to create intimacy with Jesus. Our hunger should drive us low, and our hunger should drive us high at the same time. You can have both of them at the same time. The third position of hunger is, how loud will your hunger make you? How loud will you get? In Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, we find a man named Blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bart for time's sake. What happened is, again, he knew Jesus was coming. And Blind Bart starts to yell, Jesus, son of Jesse, have mercy on me. He was trying to get Jesus' attention, and everyone around him was like, hey, Bart, shh, shh, be quiet, Bart. Quiet down, man. You're being loud. You're going to draw too much attention to yourself. And the Bible says that he got quiet, and he stopped yelling because of the people around him. No, I'm kidding. That's what we do, not what Bartimaeus did. This is what happened. Bartimaeus, instead of getting quiet, he got louder. He said, I don't care what you people think about me. I need to get healed. I don't care what you think. I need to get the attention of Jesus. I know who the healer is. I know who the one is that can set me free is. I don't care about your thoughts or your opinions. I care about Jesus' thoughts and opinions. And I'm going to get his attention because of my noise level. One got his attention by climbing a tree. One got his attention by pouring out on his feet. But Bartimaeus got loud for Jesus. When people tell you to be quiet, but then you recognize your praise is a weapon, why would you ever shut up? See, praise is a pathway to the presence of Jesus. And I want to be in the presence of Jesus. Sam, run up here real quick. Like, run. For time's sake, I'm just playing. It's your exercise today. And make his Pentecostal nap easier. This is Sam. He's in the Bible college. He plays the keys extremely well. We love him. But Sam is really funny because Sam only talks about Jesus. You could be talking about food. And you'd be like, yo, that food the other day was so good. He'd be like, taste and see that the Lord is good. You'd be like, man, my feet hurt. Be like, beautiful are the feet that brings the gospel. Like, Sam only talks about Jesus. And we love to pick on him about it, but he's recognized that I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to be quiet. I'm not going to stop talking about the Lord because I know that I need to get the attention of Jesus. We pick on him, but actually, it's really powerful that he won't shut up about Jesus. He won't stop talking about Jesus. We're working on him. He's single, by the way. Thank you. But what are we the loudest about? For real, what are we loud about? What do you get loud about? What comes out of your mouth the most? That's what you're loudest about. What's on your social media? That's what you're the loudest about. And what we're the loudest about indicates what we're the most hungry for. Yeah, I can't say that. I'll get a text message right now yelling at me. I'm going to move on that thought. The first three positions of hunger. How high will you go? How low will you go? How loud will you be? But the fourth position of hunger is how desperate will you be? There was a woman with an issue of blood found in Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. And she had this issue of blood for 12 years. And she went to the doctors and she spent money and she tried everything she could. She tried keto. She tried everything to get rid of this issue of blood. Stupid. Sorry. I love carbs. I'm having a personal war on keto because I love carbs. But she couldn't get rid of it. She couldn't get rid of this issue of blood. And she heard that Jesus was coming. So what she did is, she got so desperate. She said, I'm so sick of this situation. I'm so sick of what's going on. I'm so desperate to get healed. I'm so desperate for a difference. I'm so desperate for a change. I know that going out in this, my culture says that I could be stoned. I know that people could kill me. But I don't care because I know what Jesus can do. When was the last time we got so desperate that we didn't care what culture would say? We got so desperate we didn't care what our friends and our family would say. When was the last time we decided that I'm going to break away from this culture and I'm going to get some of Jesus? Because this is what I've recognized. The culture you submit to is the culture you partake of. And this includes a lukewarm church, skipping church, a dead church. This includes any culture that we find in church as well. That we need to break out of those things and find a hunger for Jesus. I don't care what it looks like. I want to be alive for Jesus. And if I'm going to be alive for Jesus, I got to get hungry for the things of God. I know that it's Jesus that can fulfill me. It's Jesus that can set me free. It's Jesus that I'm looking for. His name is Jesus. And I need to get hungry for the things of Jesus. I need to get thirsty like David was. I need to have a desire for God more than anything else. So I'm not okay with what I have now. I want more. One girl came here last week and I was talking to her mom. She said it like this. She said, Mom, I like that church. I was like, oh, cool. Why? She said, it's because they're alive. Man, this church is alive because we're hungry for Jesus. I mean, you know what I've learned? We can always get more. And our hunger should drive us to get more. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says it like this. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. That's a promise. If you hunger for Jesus, if you have a hunger in your belly for righteousness, you shall be filled. Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says it like this. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Look, if you have a diligent seeking in your heart, saying, I'm not gonna seek out my next Netflix series. I'm not gonna seek out The Bachelorette. I'm not gonna seek out these things. I'm gonna seek out Jesus. See, I challenge you this week. Start to seek Jesus instead of your shows. I know we'll wait till 9 o'clock for that season premiere, but don't worry, at 10 o'clock, it'll be right on the channel that you can, for the app. You can watch it later, but maybe we should seek Jesus in that hour like the psalmist was. That's where the true fulfilling is. There's not an issue with TV. There's an issue with hunger. What are we hungry for? I got a dead battery. Hold on. Sorry. What are we hungry for? Oh, I sound different. What do we desire the most in this life? He's a rewarder and he's a filler. You can't seek Jesus and not be rewarded and not be filled. He's a rewarder and a filler. He's a rewarder and a filler. I want to encourage you to be here at 7:15 prayer, to be on the phone at 6:15 in the morning, to read your Bible and pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. That's an old Bible, like kids' church thing. But it's true. Every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. But here's what I found. The Lord said, taste and see, but we try to wait and see. We'll come to church. Well, God, here I am. Bless me. If you don't do it this time, I'm never coming back. you're almost done. He said, taste and see, but oftentimes as Christians, we wait and see. You can't wait and see in the kingdom. You got to taste and see in the kingdom. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Here's what I found. One of the names for God in the Old Testament was Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And if the Lord is there, you need to go and find him there. The woman with the issue of blood, she went and found him there. Zacchaeus ran out in front of everybody so he could find him there. Mary found him there. Bartimaeus found him there. Where are you going to taste and see that the Lord is good? Doesn't have to be at church on Sunday. It can be on your car ride home. He said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. John 8, verses 37 through 39. Look, the Bible is full of topics on hunger. It's really cool because they're exiting the feast, the celebration. And it was the last day, and like they had been eating, they had been partying, they were having a good time. Check out how crazy this is. On the last day of the feast, Jesus said, if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, I'm right here. See, he wasn't talking about physical hunger. Is it those religious things, those circles that you got to go around, that'll never fill your hunger. Those shows, that person, that drink, whatever it is, that'll never fill your hunger. He stood up on the last day and said, if you're hungry and thirsty, I'm right here. He was talking about a spiritual filling, not a natural filling. Religion cannot fill you. TV shows cannot fill you. Food cannot fill you. It does taste good, though. See, what I've noticed about a lot of people is, and I've been here at times too, is when we feel distant from God, people tend to run from him instead of drawing close to him. And emotions are key in a relationship, but they can't be the driving force. Emotions are not the determination of truth. They're an indicator of your position. If you feel far from God, it's not saying God has left you or God is uninterested in you or God does not love you. If you feel far from God, it's an exposure of our current position. And what I love about Jesus is he'll take us in any position. Like Zacchaeus was a thief, Mary was a prostitute, Bartimaeus was blind. They had issues. It's an indicator of our position, and we determine what we do with that indication. If you feel far from God, it's not to run away, it's to draw close. When you draw close to him, he'll draw near to you. Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was teaching them how to pray, he said, pray like this, and he gets down to it, and he said, and give us this day our daily bread. So look, as Christians, if we're not having daily bread, if we're not having this spiritual meal, we will get hungry and we will get in a position where we feel like we're far from God. But when we have our daily meal, we'll only grow. What I love about Jesus is the food of the kingdom is prepared fresh every day. He's not going to prepare and give you and serve you week old country buffet. He's got something fresh for you every single day. He has something new for you every single day. What I've been teaching my youth leaders this year and even the students is every day should be your best day in Jesus. If he's got a fresh meal for you every day, it should be better than conference. It should be better than yesterday. It should be better than the day you got saved. Every day in Jesus should be our brand new best day. Literally, the key to this is daily personal revival. But daily personal revival simply only flows from daily hunger. The manna went bad overnight. And oftentimes we miss the moment. What I've learned is we have to make moments or we'll always miss them. We got to make time for Jesus. We got to decide that we're going to get hungry. And it's crazy about the kingdom of heaven, because the more you eat, the hungrier you get. You can't ever fill your appetite fully in the kingdom of heaven. You get hungry for more and more and more and more and more and more. And hungrier and hungrier and hungrier and hungrier for more and more and more and more. I have one last quote from Henry Thoreau. It says, if a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it's because he hears a different drummer. Let him step to the music which he hears, however measured or far away. If anything or anyone is trying to steal or hold back your hunger, they need to be removed. Think about it. Zacchaeus, people tried to hold him back. The religious people were mad that Jesus was going to a sinner's house to eat. Mary, people were mad and upset that he was letting her do this. Blind Bartimaeus, everyone told him to be quiet. The woman with the issue of blood, she could have been killed. But every single one of them ignored the critics so they could see Jesus, so their hunger could be matched, so they could get what they needed. See, we need to get protective over our food. Have you ever seen anybody who hasn't had food in like a week? They'll put their arm out in front of their plate and they'll just be scarfing it in there. Like, don't come near my food. Don't touch my food. We need to get protective over our food. Don't come near me. It's my time with Jesus. I'm hungry for Jesus. I need to get more of Jesus. I'm going to protect the plate that he's prepared for me. I need more of Jesus. I'm hungry. You can't have what he's prepped for me. I need Jesus. He doesn't run out of food. He's got it fresh prepared for you. He has all that you need. He has all that you can handle in the kingdom. The more you eat is the hungrier you get. And I believe in this moment, in this season, we need to get hungry again for the things of God. We need to be like the psalmist who said, I stay up all night thinking about your promises. Who says, like a deer panteth for water, I'm coming after you. My soul that thirsts for you. I need Jesus. I don't need another show. I don't need another moment. I don't need something else to satisfy. I need Jesus. It's Jesus that I want. It's Jesus that I desire. If we could get hungry for Jesus, we'd have everything that we're looking for. We'd have it all. We could have all of it. Today, if that's you, saying, I'm hungry for Jesus. I need my hunger to be increased. I need to go back to where I was. I need an increase. I need more hunger. I need more of Jesus. Look, it's not something that's just going to like drop off. It's something we decide. Those who hunger and thirst, not those who he makes hungry, those who hunger and thirst, those who diligently seek, not those who he makes diligently seek. Jesus has everything that we're looking for, folks. He has everything that I need. He has everything that I want and everything that I desire. And I need to shift my priorities and I need to shift my hunger to look like him and to look like what he has prepared and to look like what he's offering. We need a fresh revival of reading our Bibles. We need a revival of prayer. We need a revival in our worship. We need a revival in these things. Well, I worship really good. Worship even deeper. Well, I read a lot. Read even more. Ask for fresh revelation. Well, I pray a decent amount. Pray more. Because the more you do, the more he's going to fill. The more you chase, the more he's going to meet. The more you run after him, the more you diligently seek him, he'll reward you. He's got more than enough. Like, think about this. I would challenge you to get in your heart that you're going to make God go broke because he can't afford the food that you've been eating. Like, Pastor Palco has two teenage boys, and I guarantee they try to make her go broke by eating all the food in the house every single day. It won't happen because she's blessed. But what would it look like if you got a hunger like a teenage boy? Eating his mom out of house and home for the things of God. Just trying to think of an easy way to describe it. What would it look like if you made in your heart, God, I'm going to make you go broke because I want so much of you. I'm going to make you run out of food just for me. I want all of you. I'm going to go high. I'm going to go low. I'm going to get loud and I'm going to get desperate because I just want you. I just want Jesus. Today, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus, that's the very first step. Maybe when I was preaching, something struck in your heart saying that you need Jesus. Look, he loves you so much, he died for you, even in our present position. He died for me on a cross while I was still a sinner, because he loves me and he loves you just the same. He died so that you can have life and life more eternal, but he also died so you can have heaven on earth. If that's you in this place and you're saying, I don't serve Jesus. Maybe you used to and you've walked away. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. He's the only way to heaven. It's not another religion. It's nowhere else. It's no one else. It's only Jesus. If that's you in this place, just saying, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus, can you just pick your hand up above your head and wave it at me real quick? I'm not going to embarrass you. Amen, amen. Amen. Can we stand up all over this place? If you raised your hand, I'm going to invite you up. My wife Mindy is making her way over to this side. And as you make your way up, we're just going to clap our hands for you. Man, we believe in you. It's the best decision you could ever make. Come on, right out of your seat, right over on this side. She wants to pray with you and give you a Bible. Amen. Look, anybody else in this place, my question is simple. Are you hungry? If you're hungry, can you wave your hand at me? If you're hungry, can you wave your hand at me? If you said, you know what, I'm hungry, but I want to be hungrier. I want an increased appetite. I want an increased appetite. Go ahead and put your hands above your head. I want an increased appetite. I'll pray for an increased appetite, but that means you got to start to stretch your appetite. I got on a meal plan once. Keep your hands up. I'm seeing your shoulder strength. I got on a meal plan once that said eat 6 times a day. Day one, I ate 2 meals, and I was like, thought I was going to throw up. Day two, I ate 3 meals and tried to eat the fourth, and I thought I was going to throw up. Day three, the same thing. But after day four, after I had my third meal 20 minutes later, I was ravenously hungry in like 20 minutes. If you want to get hungrier, you've got to force feed yourself. Turn the TV off. Turn that podcast off. Turn those distractions off. Crack open that Bible. Crack open those messages. Turn up your worship music more than just in your shower. And you got to force feed yourself. I don't feel like it. Nope. You don't got to feel like it if you put yourself on a diet. Your diet determines how far you'll go. We got to stick to our diet. 11 million people die every year of starvation, but I'll not be a Christian that dies of starvation. Let's keep our hands above our head. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray an absolute hunger in the belly of his tabernacle, an absolute individual hunger and a corporate hunger for the things of God, for the word of God, for prayer and worship. Father, increase our appetite today to have more of you. It's you that we need. It's you that we want. It's you that we desire. Father, drive us high and bring us low. Father, make us loud and make us desperate. Make it so we don't care what other people say, what other people do, what other people think, but put it in our hearts that we're desperate for you. We're desperate and we're hungry and we're thirsty, and we'll be like the psalmist who said, it's you I desire and it's you that I'll go after no matter what. If you're the hungriest in the room, can I hear a mighty amen from the back to the front? Amen. We love you guys. If you need prayer for anything, we're right here at the front. But I'm serious. Open that Bible. Get into some worship. Pray even deeper. Go after Jesus on a new level today. The prayer team's at the front if you need anything. Make sure you hug somebody. Make sure you love on somebody. This is a family, and we need to make sure family is recognized in this building.